Tonight's shiur is on this coming week's parsha, Parshas Vayira, and the title of the shiur tonight is The Hospitality of Avraham. So tonight we're going to look at the beginning of the parsha, where Avraham interacts with the three guests, the three malachim, and we'll try to understand in greater detail some of the psukim there that deal with the types of food that Avraham serves to the malachim. So why is it so necessary, as you'll see from the psukim, for the Torah to highlight each particular food that Avram serves the Malachim? So there are a lot of ideas that we can derive from these psukim about Hachnasas Orchim, and also there's a deeper idea in a Gemara later on. So let's look in source number one. It says, Vayiroi lov ad Hashem be'elonim amrei v'hu yoshev pesach ol kechom hayom. So after Avraham did bris milah, it says that Hashem appeared to him in Elonim amrei. And Avram was sitting by the opening of his tent, and the day grew hot, and it kept getting hotter. So the pasuk tells us that Avram looked out from his tent, and he saw three individuals standing near him, and he ran out to greet them, and he bowed down to them. So he says to them, please don't pass by me without stopping in. So let water be brought to you, and you'll wash your feet, and recline underneath the tree. Okay? And then he says, I'm going to take some bread, and it'll satiate your heart, and afterwards you'll pass and you'll leave. And they agree to do this. So Avraham, as soon as he sees that his guests are going to stay, he goes to Sarah and he says to her, bake up some cakes. And also Avraham runs out to the cattle and he takes some nice piece of meat that's tender and good, an animal, and he gives it to his Nar, they say Tishmal, and he says to him, quickly prepare this meat. And then he also took curds and milk, and the calf that he took from the field and that was prepared, and he gave it to the angels or the guests, and they sat there and they were eating while Avram was standing there with them. Okay, so the Torah explains in the beginning of this parsha an incident with Avram and the Malachim. The Torah is kind of cryptic, and there's a lot of different Rishonim on whether or not or why the Torah presents them as individuals, whether this was all Mar Nevua or not as Machlokas Rishonim, but we're not going to take that up right now. What I'm interested in is what I mentioned at the beginning of the shiur, which is that the Torah goes into detail as to the nature of the food that he serves to the Malachim. And it mentions it in Pasuk Zion. It says that he goes to Sarah to bake cakes, then in Vav, and then Zion, it talks about how Avram picked out a nice animal, a calf, to feed them. And then afterwards, it says that he stood by them, and he also brought them chema and chalav. So why do we have to know about all the details of the food that was prepared for this incident? So that's the question that I want to address in the shiur. And there's plenty of Gemaras that take up a lot of the details and Midrashim. But the main question is, why does the Torah emphasize the food that Avram brought to the Malachim in this experience? It should just say that Avram fed them, or that he was willing to give them water or whatever. Why mention all the details of how Avram went out to the field and the type of animal he got? Why is it so important? So that's the question. So we'll see from the Gemara that the Gemara is also very detailed about this piece. Look in source number two. So the Gemara is Bava Metziah, Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, and it says, Ve'al Bakar Ratz Avraham. So it's going on our Pasuk, one of our Pasukim, Pasuk Zion, that Avram ran out to the field, to the cattle. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Ben Abakar Echad, Rach Shnayim Betov Shlosha. So the fact that the Torah says, Ben Bakar, Rach, and Tov, each one indicates a separate animal on its own. Ben Bakar is the calf, Rach is tender, and Tov is good. So the Torah says these three languages to teach us, these three words to teach us that Avram chose an individual animal for each guest. Ve'imachad. So the Gemara says, maybe it was just one animal that Avram took and he served. Kida amri inshi rachech v'tov. Like people say about a steak, they'll say the steak is tender and it's good. Why do we know, why does rach v'tov teach us that Avram chose three separate animals, one for each guest? Maybe it just means rach v'tov is that the nature of the animal that he chose was it was a good meat. It was a soft and tender meat. So the Gemara is perplexed by this. So then it says, im kein lichtov rach tov. So the Gemara answers, it should have said rach tov. Why my vitov? Why does it say vitov? Shmamino lidrasha. So there's an extra vav that it was tender and it was good to teach you that the word tov is coming to derive an idea, a lesson, which is that with Avram, each one was an individual. He separated three individual animals to serve. So then the Gemara says ematrei. So maybe it was two. Maybe he took two animals. Midatov lidrasha. Once we use the word tov for a drasha, rach nami lidrasha. The word tender, the rach, is also for a drasha. Okay, so immediately what's strange is why does it matter so much? That's the question. Why does it matter how many animals Avram separated for the malachim, for the guests? Why doesn't it just say that he gave him an animal? He gave him meat. He gave him steak. Why does it matter that he separated three different animals? Okay? And the Gemara keeps going. Mesiv Rabba Bar Ula. Back to the Gemara in source number two. So Rabba Bar Ula objected to the fact that Avram chose an individual animal for each guest. The Tamer of Hoshea, some say it was Rav Hoshea. The Tamer of Nasan, Rav Hoshea, some say it was Rav Nasan in the name of Rav Hoshea. Vayitain El Hanar, Vayimaher Lasoso. So it says in the Pasuk that Avram gave it to the Na'ar, to the youth, to prepare it. So it sounds like one. He gave one. It says Vayitain El Hanar, sounds like only one animal. Kol Chad V'chad Yaveh L'Na'ar Chad. So my answer is no. He gave each animal alone, individually, to the Nahar, and it was one by one that the Nahar prepared it. Okay, so the Gemara says, Vayikach chema v'chala huvena bakar asher asa v'yitin lefnehem. So it says that he took the chema, the butter, and the chalav, and also the animal, huvena bakar, and he placed it before them. So it sounds like only one animal. It says huvena bakar. So then the Gemara says, Dekama kama dematya aisi lekamayu. So no, he presented each one individually, and after the first one was presented, the next one was presented. The Lamali Tlasa. So now the Gemara says, asks our question. So why do we need three? Why didn't Avram just bring one animal, shecht it, and serve it? Tiski Bechad, one's enough for three people. One animal, one calf would be enough meat. So Amrav Chanan Bar Rava. So Rav Chanan Bar Rava said, Kidei Lachilon Shlosh Lishonos Bechardal. So he wanted to serve them three different pieces of tongue, of animal tongue, in mustard, with mustard. Okay, so the Gemara answers our question. Still doesn't answer the broader question, which is why does it matter so much? But the idea is that the Gemara, so just to summarize the Gemara says that each word in the Pasuk, by Pasuk Zayin, in Ben Bakar Rach V'tov, is to teach us that Avram chose three separate animals to serve to these three guests. Each guest got their own animal, their own calf. And why did he do that? So the Gemara ends up saying, because he wanted to present each one of them with a lashon, with the animal tongue, with mustard, with chardal. So the question is still, okay, so what's the significance of this idea, this concept, that the Torah has to highlight that Avram wanted to serve each one their own lashon, their own tongue, animal tongue, in mustard or with mustard? Why is that important? So look at Rashi, source number 3, gives us a little insight. He says, Lashonos b'chardal, on the second line of Rashi, he says, Ma'adan malachim misarimhu. So this is the cuisine of malachim and sarim, of people who are very prominent, and like kings and officers. This is what they eat. They eat animal tongue. They eat tongue with mustard. So I like tongue with mustard too, but it's a great dish. And it seems like the idea is that this dish is really served to malachim, and that's why Avram chose this dish for the malachim, or for the guests. But again, the question is, so what? I mean, what's the, okay, fine, so he did this. So what's the significance? Is there a deeper meaning or lesson to the concept that Avram was makbid, was very careful in what he served these guests? Okay, so the Marsha says, just to get some more facts, just a background. So he says, Shlosh l'shonos b'chardal, nira shalomdu lo markein delishna derach v'tov nofil b'pradal alashon. Okay, he deva yikar rabba, rachi hava asa su'uda l'tamidav, sorry, rebi hava asa su'uda l'tamidav, hevi lefneim l'shonos rachem l'shonos kashem. So how do we know that Rach V'Tov is referring to the tongue, animal tongue? Because that's a typical description of tongue. It's usually tender. It could either be tender or hard. And you see this from the story in Vayikra Rabbah. And then he says, "Dechadi tov leis tov mina, v'chadi bish leis bish mina." The one that's good, there's nothing better, and the one that's bad, there's nothing worse. "V'chardal nami darish merach v'tov shu usa meichal rach v'tov choshvina deduk choshvina dedin v'ledrosden nami shapir asya nosef avav b'v'tov." So he also says that rach v'tov is also an idea in chardal and mustard, because what does mustard do to meat? It tenderizes it, and it also makes it taste better. It brings out all the flavors. Hopefully, you like mustard. But the idea is the Marsha is trying to teach us where the drush is from. Rach V'Tov, how do we know that it's referring to the tongue, meat, and mustard? Because the tongue is typically more tender than the other meat of the animal. And furthermore, mustard, that's what it does. It tenderizes the meat and it makes it more flavorful. Okay, fine. But again, same question as before. What's the meaning of Avraham's method here? Okay, so there's one other point, and then we'll get to actually two other Rishonim, and then we'll get to the idea, the first idea in the Shir. So there's another Gemara I remembered. I did this Gemara years ago, and it reminded me, this Chardel thing reminded me of another Gemara, and it was in Chulin that I did a couple years ago, about Matnos Kahuna. So the Gemara talks about how there's a mitzvah for Yisraelim and non-Kohanim to give Matanos, to give various gifts to the Kohanim, and some of them include, there's a question in the Gemara whether the tongue is included. But it was. But they have to give the Kohanim different meats. So if you look in source number 5, it says, "Amar of Chizda, matnos kahuna eina chalos elatzli." So all the matnos kahuna that were meat had to be eaten sli, roasted. Ve'eina chalos ela bechardal, and also they had to be eaten with mustard. My time. What's the reason? Amar kara lemashcha legdula kederach shamulachim ochlim. So lemashcha means for prominence. So the idea of giving food to the Kohanim is to demonstrate their prominence, and therefore the Kohen has to eat the meat the way that a Melech would eat it. And how does the Melech eat meat? With mustard. And Rashi says, L'mashcha, on that Gemara, b'manos kuhuna ksiv, b'vayikach korach l'cha nesatim l'mashcha, ko manos shenasati l'cha b'chunascha nasati l'cha l'gdula, k'demetargaminan l'rebusa. So the purpose of the manos kuhuna is to demonstrate the prominence of the Kohen, and therefore the Kohen had to eat the food the way that a Melech would eat his food. And how does a Melech eat his meat? He eats it with mustard. Okay, so now we see where Rashi gets this idea from, or it's a consistent concept in Shas. But what is the deeper meaning? What's the idea, the concept that the Torah has to specify Lashonos Bechardel? Okay, so there's one other possibility, and then we'll get to the idea. So the Chizkuni says, Ben Barkar Rach Lisbasho Mehira, Khan Parish Rashi. So Rashi explains that the calf is very tender and it cooks very quickly. Lachilam Gimel Lashonos, Rashi says he wanted to feed them three different pieces of tongue. Lohodiyam Sheshachat Bishvilam Shlosh Behemos Bechardal, to teach them that he shechted for them three different animals, Bechardal, with mustard, of Aloba Popolin, not with pepper. Kedarminam Be'irvin. Like it says in Erevin, lo kamidos kedoros harishonim shlo yelahem pilpulin. So at the time of the Torah, they didn't have pepper, but they had mustard seed. V'lama lishonos, why lishonos? Lefi shahiyu nechbazl medarcham ve'enichom lahamten ash tispashet habehema. So the reason why lishonos were chosen, according to the Chizkuni, is because it's much easier to prepare. You don't have to flay the animal and skin it and everything. You could just remove the tongue and it could, and you can serve it. And he recognized that he didn't want to make them wait. And so he knew that they were on their way, and he didn't want them to wait for him. So he ended up serving them tongue, because the tongue is easy to prepare. It's faster, and you don't have to flay the animal, take the skin off, and when you serve tongue. So we have two different ideas as to what the concept of tongue is, tongue with mustard. Either it's like Rashi in the Gemara, that the concept is lamashcha legdula, the idea of tongue, serving tongue to these malachim, or these individuals, these guests. It was an idea in malachim. That's the cuisine of malachim, of kings and sarim. Or it's an idea like the Chizkuni saying, which is that the concept was that Avram recognized that they were on their way and he didn't want to make them wait. So he served them a meat that could be developed and cooked quickly, and he recognized that. But who cares? The question is, who cares? What does this teach us about Avraham's chesed, his chachnasus orchim? What can we learn from this? Okay, so that's the question. So I want to give two different possibilities, but they're based on... And I gave shir on this, I think, last year, about why Hachnasas Orchem is really an idea or tied to the Nevuah, to the idea of the Nevuah here, tied to Malachim. But we'll go look at Rashi in source number 8. So Rashi says, Yukach Na, we'll do this Gemara later, but he says, Ayideh Shliach. When he first tells these guests to come in, he says, water will be brought for you. And that means a shliach, a guest, a shliach, a servant of mine will bring you water. Ba'akadosh Baruch Hu shilim levanav al yad shliach. So we learn in the Gemara that because Avram had a shliach do this, God, in the future, by B'nai Yisrael, had a shliach by Moshe, Shnamar, Vayarem Moshe as yadav vayachas asela. By when the Jews needed water, he had a shliach. Instead of Hashem providing the water, he had Moshe hit the rock. So we'll try to understand the connection there. Fine. So that's Rashi, and we're going to get to that Gemara later. But then he says, "V'rachatzu ragleichem kisover shehim arvayim shemishtachavim la'avak ragleim behikbid shel lahachnis avodazar leveso." So Avram, his practice in general was that he would have people wash their feet because he was makbid that avodazar shouldn't go into his house, and he was concerned that these were Arabs and that they were involved in mishtachavaya to their gods. And he wanted them to wash off their avodah zarah so that it wouldn't come into his house. But Lot was not as makbid, and he changes the order. Okay, and tachas etz, tachas eilan. So what do we see from this? The first idea is, what do we see? That Avram, and this is also based on the shir that I gave last year, that the whole method of Avram and his achnasus orchim was really tied to try to engage his guests in a philosophical debate. And in fact, the first point in Rashi is that he ensured that the individuals that would come into his home would remove themselves from avodah zarah, because he wanted to be able to engage these individuals in philosophical debate and to try to teach them about God. And in fact, there's later psukim that say, Vayita Eshel, that Avram set up an inn. So Avram's methodology of trying to speak to people and talk to them about philosophical knowledge and truth was really through the process of Achnasas Orchim. And we see that in the beginning by Rashi. We see that the idea was that he made sure, this is based on the Shita that it was Pshat, that he wasn't really, the idea that he wasn't really sure that they were Malachim, he's treating them like guests. So he made sure that they weren't involved or they weren't still attached to Avodah Zarah prior to walking into his home, so that he could accurately engage the individuals that he was hosting in philosophical debate. So I think with that background, with that backdrop, we can kind of get to what the idea of the machlokas is in why he wanted to serve them lashonos and what the idea of lashonos were. So I think that the Torah is teaching us, according to Rashi, one way of learning, is that the Torah is teaching us that Avram was very specific in terms of each animal cutting off a lashon and preparing it and serving it, because the idea is that he always wanted his guests to feel as if they were important, as if they were malachim, like kings and officers. And it seems to me, I think, that the reason for this, or the reason why the Torah is teaching us this, is to show us that Avram, his whole goal was, with Hachnasas Orchim, was to engage his guests in a philosophical debate. So according to Rashi, the methodology that he used in order to free the person to engage in this conversation was by treating them this way, by treating them like they were malachim. Because when Avram recognized that when somebody comes to your home, they're sometimes or oftentimes they feel like they're at a disadvantage, like it's your home court. So it seems like Avram wants to open up the field and open up his home to debate, to natural debate. So one side saying that the best way to do that, and Avram's exemplifying the best way to do that, is to treat your guests as if they're kings, as if they're malachim. And if you do that, then you're more likely to be able to engage them in conversation and talk to them about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and talk to them about philosophical ideas. But if you don't do that, if you're incapable of doing that, so then there's always going to be an impediment for there to be honest debate. So the first idea, or the first possibility, according to Rashi, and I believe the Gemara, is that why was it so important or necessary for Avram to serve these Lashonos? It's teaching us the Avram's methodology of Hachnasas Orchim, and his methodology was to constantly treat his guests as if they were malachim, as if they were superior to him, and only in that way would he be able to engage them or be confident in engaging them in debate. and try to teach them Torah, or teach them ideas. Not Torah per se, but I mean philosophical ideas. But the other possibility is the Chizkuni. And this is important for our own Hachnasas Orchim, our own hospitality. The Chizkuni is saying that the goal of a host is really to get into the mind of the guest, to try to accommodate the guest to the best of your ability. So there's a concept in hospitality that you want make yourself feel comfortable, try to feel like you're at your home. And the idea that Avram's trying to teach us through the Torah specifying the Lashonos, is that Avram was really trying, whenever he had guests, he always tried to get into the mind of the guest. Does the guest want to stay, or is the guest in a hurry? And it seems like the idea is that Avram, his whole mentality was to cater to the guest, to the point where the guest was the priority, and he could really cater to their needs and their psyche and their whims. So I think the machlokas between, I don't think it's a firm machlokas. I think that they're both true ideas in Hachnasas Orchim. But I think the machlokas between Rashi and the Chizkuni is, what was the purpose of Avraham's feeding them each tongues? Is it that the methodology of Avram focused on removing his ego and making the people feel like they had some type of superiority, allowing them to feel a certain sense of superiority, and therefore allowing them to open up and state their belief systems and engage them? Or was the idea to try to get into the mind of the guest, to try to cater to the guest to the best of your ability? So I think those are two true ideas in Hachnasas Orchim that I guess is important for us to learn from, which is that when we have guests, if our goal is to try to create an opportunity for conversation, for learning, so when we have guests, what's the best method in order to achieve that? It's probably a combination of the two. But on the one hand, you want to try to remove your ego, you want to be the servant, and you want to treat your guests as if they're special, they're superior. And also, you also want to get into their mind and try to understand, you know, what their mentality is, what they're coming in for. Are they coming in quickly? Do they want to stay? So try to cater to them. Always put yourself, I guess it's one theme, which is to put yourself secondary to your guests. But either one idea is to make them feel superior, and the other possibility is to cater to their needs, cater to their whims. So the Torah is trying to teach us that that's the idea of the Lashonos, that Avraham was very aware of the psyche of his guests, and he was very aware of what method, or he had a specific methodology of trying to get them to feel comfortable in order to engage them in debate. Okay, so that's the first idea. Okay, so now we have tonight's share is going to be three main points. So the first point, but they're all tied to the same concept of the foods in the beginning story. So the first concept is to teach us the method of Avram's Hachnasas Orchim. But the second idea is an interesting point also. It says in source number 10, in the same Gemara, Bava Metzia, Pei Vav Amad Beis, and Rashi quotes this, Amr of Tamchum Bar Chanilai, Le'olam Al Yeshane Adam Min Aminog, Sharei Moshe Ala Lamarom V'lo Achal Lechem, Malachi Asharis Yardu Lamata V'achlu Lechem. So the Gemara teaches that you should never try to stray from the custom of the place that you're in, because we see that Moshe went up to the heavens by Har Sinai and he didn't eat anything. He didn't eat any bread. It says that lechem lo achalti u'mayim lo shasisi. So he was trying to act in line with the minhag of the malachim. Malachi asharis yardu lamata v'achlu lechem. But we see that the malachim, whose minhag is normally not to eat, they eat with Avram, the achlu saka daitach. And the Gemara says, what do you mean they ate? Malachim don't eat. So ela ema niru kamisha achlu v'shasu. So the Gemara says that they appeared as if they were eating and drinking. So the Gemara is a weird Gemara. The Gemara says that the Malachim, when Avram served them the food, the Malachim did not actually eat the food, but they appeared like they were eating and drinking, because Malachim don't eat and drink. And it's trying to teach us this concept of Le'olam al yishana adam min aminog, that a person's not supposed to change from the custom of the place that they're in. So if you go to somebody's house and you're eating there, so let's say they serve food that you don't like, you should try to fit in. You should try to fit in and try to eat what they are eating. And we see this from the, not just the minhag by eating, but minhag in general. But there's an interesting tosos. Look in source number 11 on this Gemara. It says, Nirin ka'ochlem shosin. He says, V'seder Eliyahu rabas rabak sani lo ka'oso sha'omer nirin ka'ochlem v'shosin ela ochlem v'shosin mamish v'pnei kvodo shel Avram u'fliga d'adahacha. So he says that in the Medrash, it actually says that the Malachim didn't appear like they were eating and drinking, but they were actually eating and drinking. Why? Because of the kavod of Avraham. So there's a machlokes Tosos brings down between our Gemara and the Medrash. Was it that the malachim in the story in the beginning of our parsha, was it that they pretended to eat? Or was it that they were actually eating lechavod Avraham? So again, the second point, so I want to try to define, or try to explain what the two sides are. What's the machlokes between the two opinions as to whether the malachim ate or did not eat? So what exactly is the point? So I don't think, so I want to try a second point about hospitality. So I don't think that the Gemara is really focusing on how malachim operate and whether they eat or drink. I think that the purpose of the Gemara is to teach us an idea, a lesson for us. And the malachim were there to teach us a lesson for humans, for how we act. So what is the machlokes? The machlokes seems to be whether or not fitting in is an idea in not embarrassing the host or not embarrassing the people, or and that's not just not making sure that you don't stick out, or is the idea, or is there an inherent good in fitting in? Is there an idea good if you have a different minhag from the makam that you're in? Is there an inherent good for you to try to fit in, to try to identify with the group that you're in? So the first Gemara in Bava Metzia is saying that they looked like they were eating and drinking, meaning that they did whatever necessary in order not to embarrass the host, in order not to make the host be conscious of that they didn't like the food or that they weren't eating. So the first idea is that when you're in a situation where you know that if you do something out of the ordinary, it's going to embarrass somebody else or embarrass the host, you should try to fit in. So the idea of fitting in is simply an idea of preventing a certain embarrassment on the part of the host. Or is the idea of fitting in a good in itself? And that's what it means that the malachim eat and drink. Meaning, even if you don't like something, don't try to just, even if it's not your minhag, don't try to just avoid it, avoid the embarrassment or avoid sticking out, but actually do what everybody else is doing. There's a benefit to identifying with the group, because if you do that, then, as I said before, if at least in the context of Achnasis Orchim, it allows you to connect with the group in a greater way, and it allows you to gain more knowledge and gain more thought and ideas. So if you're just trying to act as if you're not sticking out and as if you're not going to embarrass the host, so you're not really going to identify with the host and you're not really going to gain from the host. So the second idea in hospitality, the first idea is how the host should act towards the guests, that a host should always try to cater to the guest's needs and try to understand their needs, or also to try to treat them superior. And how should the guest react? The guest, either it's machlokas, either the guest should not try to embarrass the host as much as possible, or the guest should actually do something out of his comfort zone because there's a benefit to breaking down and to identifying with the group itself. With the group, there's some benefit in certain situations to identifying with the group. Sometimes I get into this discussion, I don't know if it's exactly applicable, but with regard to halachic minhagim as well, I think I've gotten into the discussion before with regard to shul. If you're in a shul and you have a different minhag, how should you act? So of course you're not supposed to do your own thing in a shul, because there's an idea of mechzik yura, there's a concept that a person's not supposed to look haughty. So if you have your own minhag of a specific type of, there's many examples, but if you have your own minhagim and the rest of the shul doesn't utilize that minhag, then you should really not do your own minhag. But the question is, I think this would be the same type of question. This machlokas gemara tosvos and medrash. The question is: should you just, as long as you don't embarrass or as long as you don't stick out, you can do your minhag in private, or is there an idea of you adopting the minhag of the shul in itself? There's a good of adopting a minhag of the shul as long as it's not a minhag shtus. There's actually a benefit for you to identify with the rest of the minyan. So I think that's an interesting question. So let's say, for example, you had a minhag not to say a certain tefillah. You had a minhag, let's say, not to say brich shmei, let's say. So the question would be, should you pretend like you're saying it, but not really say it, because you don't want to stick out? Or is there a benefit to actually saying it, assuming that it's a good minhag? Is there a benefit to saying it, because there's a benefit in a situation where you might not agree, there might be a benefit for you to actually engage in it, in that minhag, in order to identify with a group of the minyan? So I think that would be the same type of question here. It's a broader question. So I think that's the second point. The second point is whether the idea of keeping the minhag of makom, al yishana minhag of makom, is simply an idea of not sticking out, not embarrassing the host, not sticking out, or is there an inherent benefit for you to try to get out of your own minhag and identify with the minhag of somebody else? and there's a benefit to that. Okay, so the last Gemara is, I think, a little bit of a different point, but is that Rashi that we mentioned. And this, I think, is a deeper philosophical point, last point. So if you look in source number 12, same set of Gemaras. So all the Gemaras on this are in Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis. Okay, so it says, Amar Rav Yud Amar Rav. Kol Masha Asa Avraham L'malachi Asharis Ba'atzmo. Anything that Avraham did to the Malachim himself. So just a point before we go forward, the Gemara is identifying the guest now as Malachim. So it's talking about Avraham's relationship to these people as Malachim. Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Levanav Ba'atzmo. Everything that Avraham did to the Malachim himself, Hashem did to Avraham's children, meaning Bnei Yisrael himself. V'chol Masha Asa Avraham Al Yidei Shliach. Everything that Avraham did through a messenger, Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Levanav Al Yidei Shliach. So Hashem did through a Shliach. So it says, Ve'el Bakar Ratz Avraham. So they give the examples. So the first example is Avraham ran towards the cattle. Veruach nasa me'isad Hashem. So that's a reference to the slav by the quail. It says in source number 13, me'isad Hashem, kigun salvim, higiz ba'atzmo. He brought it himself. He brought the quail himself. So just like Avraham ran out to the animals himself, so too Hashem brought the quail himself. Vayikach chema v'chalav. Also, Avram took the chema and the chalav, and he served it. Hinini mamtir lachem lechem min hashemayim. So too, Hashem brought man. That was a reference to man. V'hu omed ali himself. V'hu omed alehim tachas eitz. Says that Avram stood by these malachim underneath the tree. Hinini omed lefanech hasham al atzur. That's a reference to in Bishalach, where Hashem caused the rock to provide water, to give off water. It says, Avram holech imam l'shalcham. Avram walked with them to send them out. V'Hashem holech lifneim yomam. It says by Hashem and Bishalach also, that Hashem also, he had the, he walked before them. Okay? And then it says, yukach na me'at mayim. But the one case where Avram acted through a shaliach was yukach na me'at mayim, where he says, water will be brought to you, meaning a shliach will bring water to you. So that's a reference to the story of Moshe, where Moshe hit the rock, and he was punished for hitting the rock, but that was Ayideh Shliach, that the water that came out of the rock there was defined as Ayideh Shliach, not through God himself. So we have to understand this analogy, but the Gemara says that everything that Avram did himself, there's a corollary to Bnei Yisrael, and everything that he did, Ayideh Shliach, and really, there's only one thing that he did al yidei shliach, which was yukach na me'at mayim. So the Jews received water through a shliach, through Moshe Rabbeinu, because of the fact that Avram didn't bring the water himself; he had a shliach do it. So that's one side. So that's one concept. So of course, the question is, what's the relationship between Avram and the future and Bnei Yisrael? And furthermore, what is the difference between Avram doing it himself versus shliach? You know, what's the difference? Okay, that's the question. Upliga de Rabbi Chama Barav Chanina. And there's an argument. This argues with Rabbi Chama Barav Chanina. Da Amar Rabbi Chama Barav Chanina. V'chein Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. B'schar Shlosha Zachu L'Shlosha. There's a schar. The schar for three things Avram did were B'schar Chema V'Chalav Zachu L'Man. Because Avram served the Chema and the Chalav, the milk, the dairy product, and the curd. So therefore, the Jews were Zochet to Man. B'schar V'Hu Omed Aleihem Zachu L'Amud Anan. Because of the schar of the fact that he stood over them, the Jews were zocher for the anan. Bischar yukach na me'at mayim zachu lebe'era shel Miriam. And because of the fact that he said, bring water for you to wash your feet, or it'll be brought for you, therefore he was zocher to the bear of Miriam, to the well of Miriam. So the Gemara says it's a machlokes between the two shitas, whether or not Avraham, by yukach na me'at mayim, whether that's a reference to the story of Moshe, where Moshe hit the rock and it was Al Yidei Shliach, or is it just an idea that Avram was zochet to the Be'era of Miriam because of this action? So, of course, again, the same question. What's the correlation between Avram and the future events to Klal Yisrael? And furthermore, what's this machlokes between the two shitas as to Avram, what happened by Avram in this story? Okay, so again, it's another question in why the Torah is so specific in all the details of the food that he served. Okay, so I think that there's an answer here, and I think it's a deep concept. So let's skip the Torah Tmima, and we'll go to the Ramban. So the Ramban says, "V'tam v'el bakar ratz Avraham." So Ramban explains, why does the Torah have to tell us that Avraham ran out towards the cattle in order to pick out the calf and to serve it? It says, Lahagid Rov Chashko Benedivos. It was in order to teach us his willingness to do these things. Ki Adam Agadol, Asher Hayu Beveso, Shmona Asar Ushloshmos Ish, Sholef Cherev. He had 318 servants in his household, because we see that by the whole story of the fight with the kings. Vuhuzakin Me'od. He was very old, v'cholosh b'milaso, and he was weak. Halachu ba'atzmo el ol sara lezari zoso ba'asiyas alechem. Nevertheless, he himself went to go tell Sarah to make food. V'acharechein rotzel amalkom abakar, levaker misham ben bakar, rach v'tov lasos l'orchav. And he himself went out to go take the calf that was very tender, and he picked it out specifically. V'lo aso kol zeh al yad echad mimisharsav ha'om dem lefanav. He didn't have any of his servants do this. So what does the Ramban teach us? So Ramban's telling us that, and also tied to the Gemara, that the concept of Avram doing things himself was really a perfection that Avram was demonstrating. And the perfection was that you would have thought that Avram would have his servants do it, but no, Avram did it himself. So what does that show you? It shows you the attitude and the relationship that Avram had when he encountered this, the Malachim, when he encountered the Hashgacha, the Shechina, when he encountered God's presence. So Avram's attitude was one of excitement, where he wanted to do it himself as opposed to having somebody else do it for you. Because when you do something yourself, and this is also the case by Avram, by the Akedah, it says the same thing, that he saddled his donkey. So it says over there, why did he saddle his donkey? Because it shows his rizus that he was, and his ava, his love, that he really wanted to do it himself. So when you do something yourself, it's a demonstration of your attitude towards the thing that you're doing. So I remember when I was a kid, so you'd get excited for camp, so you'd want to pack up your own stuff. When you're excited about something and you're attentive, so you want to do it yourself. You don't want somebody else to do it. So perhaps the Gemara is alluding to this concept that really the first Shita is saying that when Avram does everything himself, it's a demonstration of his attitude towards this encounter with the Malachim, that he's excited, that he's completely attentive. And perhaps the Machlokes is Yukach Namat Maim. Was there any element of Avraham that was lazy or that was somewhat resistant and not as attentive as he should have been? I shouldn't say resistant, but I should say that he wasn't as attentive as he should have been. Was there any element in the story that demonstrates a certain lack of attentiveness of Avraham to the Hashgacha, to the idea, to the presentation of the Malachim? Or no, the other side, Yukach Namat Maim, is saying no, that the story itself is not really a demonstration of Avraham's lack of attentiveness or lack of excitement, but rather it's just practical. It's just the idea of Yukach Namat Maim. It was more practical for him. So the machlokes between the two shitas in the Gemara is, does Yukach Namat Maim in this story demonstrate a lack or a laziness on the part of Avraham, even if it's minor, even the most minor laziness when it comes to encountering Malachim, encountering God, is really something that's dangerous and it's something that's not allowed or not is really criticized? Or do you say no, that Yukach Namat Maim, in reality, yes, if that were the case, you would be right. But Yukach Namat Maim, with regard to Avram, was not an example or an expression of any type of laziness or lack of attentiveness. But the first sheet is very deep, though, because the first sheet is saying that, and this will tie into the idea of the correlation, it's saying that with regard to the Yukach Namat Maim, there's a reference in the future to the story of Moshe, that Moshe was the shaliach, just like Avram got a shaliach to serve the angels, so too Hashem had a shaliach by Moshe to serve water or to hit the rock. Instead of Hashem creating water or doing it himself, he had Moshe do it. So what's the relationship between the two ideas? So I think based on my concept, on the concept that I'm presenting, it makes sense, because the concept is that When man is presented with an opportunity to relate to God on a higher level through Hashgacha, through Malachim, so it demands a certain level of attentiveness, as I said before, a certain level of excitement. And any type of laziness on the part of man when he encounters God is really subject or really creates distortion. And the idea is, by Moshe Rabbeinu, that when Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, he was criticized, he was punished. And why was he punished? So a famous reason given and the Torah says, "Yan lo hamantabi lahakti sheni," that Moshe had an opportunity to reflect to reflect God properly to the people, but instead Moshe got angry, and he was showing the people that, or he was demonstrating to the people that God was angry, and that was really improper. there was a distortion because the Shliach did it by Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a distortion between what was really supposed to be presented to the people and what Moshe presented to the people. He presented the facade of anger, that God was angry at the people, when in fact he wasn't angry at the people, that they had a legitimate complaint for water, and Moshe's attitude affected the way the people related to God and the way they related to this Hashgacha event. So I think that's the idea here. The idea that Avram's teaching us is that Avram's modeling for the Jewish people in the future the way we're supposed to relate to Hashgacha, or the way we're supposed to relate to an encounter with Malachim, to an encounter with God. And the idea is that Avram's modeling to us how we're supposed to react. We're supposed to be attentive. We can't be lazy in the least sense. We constantly have to be attentive. And the idea is that the Gemara is showing us is that any sense or any lack of attentiveness is really an opportunity for distortion. And we see that by Moshe Rabbeinu. That concept was that the idea of Shaliach is that there's a distance between man's understanding of God. And once there's a distance between man's understanding of God, it leads to a distorted idea of what really God's intending to do. So Avraham was really the model for the Jewish people, and that's what it means that he was Zocha for all these things. It means that Avraham was Zocha because he gave the Jews a model for how they're supposed to react to the Hashgacha, how they're supposed to react to the Mon, how they're supposed to react. So Avraham was the role model for the Jews of the future, and for all of his Bonim, for his descendants, as to how to react in the presence of Hashgacha, in the presence of Malachim, in the presence of God. That you have to react with a certain level of attentiveness, with a certain level of as Avram had demonstrated through this story. So that's the idea that he was Zocha, that he was presenting himself as a role model for the future generations. But the key idea, the machlokas, is it's not a machlokas conceptually, it's a machlokas on what actually happened in the story. But the question is, Yukach Na Me'amayim, is that an idea that Avram, in the smallest sense possible, lacked the level of attentiveness necessary? And that small lack of attentiveness is an idea that can create a tremendous distortion. Or is the concept of Yukach Na Me'amayim not that concept? It's really just a practical idea, and it didn't demonstrate any act of laziness on the part of Avram at all. Okay, so I think that's the machlokas in the Gemara. Okay, so just so we're finished with the shir, but let me just summarize. There's three points. The first point is the idea of the lashonos, of the tongues. And the idea is that it's to teach us how a host is supposed to act towards his guest if he wants to accomplish the goal of Achnasas Orchem, which is ultimately to engage in ideas and thought and conversation. So there's two methods. One is the idea of treating your guests as superior, and the other is making sure that you cater to their whims, making sure that you understand where they're coming from and try to cater to their whims. And those are two different aspects of Achnasas Orchem that create an environment which is conducive to learning and to engaging in debate and conversation. The second idea is the guest himself, but also there's a broader concept that I mentioned, but by the Malachim, do they eat in reality or do they just look like they were eating? So to me, it seems like the question is whether a person's supposed to act in a way where and be conscious of whether they're going to embarrass the host if you're the guest, versus that there's actually a good for a person to engage in something that might be out of his comfort zone, not his minhag, his custom, but do it anyways because it'll help you identify with the host. And by doing so, you might gain knowledge that you didn't have before. And the last concept is this concept about Avram, that every act that Avram did to the Malachim was really zechus for the future, except there's a machlokas about Yukach Na Me'amayim, that when he says, water will be brought for you, so is that an idea in the future that Hashgacha will occur through a Shliach, or no, it's not that idea. So we said that the concept of the Gemara is teaching us that Avram was a role model for how his descendants should act in the presence of the Shechina, in the presence of Hashgacha, in the presence of God. And he's showing us that a person has to be at the utmost attentiveness and level of focus. And if there's any sense of laziness on the part of man, any resistance at all, or any laziness, so it could lead to a potential distortion. So I believe that the first sheet is saying that that's what the Torah is highlighting here. That really Avraham, in this one small instance, even though he was demonstrating tremendous perfection, in this one small instance, there was a slight deviation, a slight sense of a lack of attentiveness, focus, and that idea in itself is a tremendously dangerous idea when man is in the presence of God, because it leads to distance between man and God and potential distortion. And that's the idea of Moshe. Or do you say, no, that in this story, that even though it says Yukach Na Me'amayim, it really wasn't a demonstration of that idea in Avram. Avram was really acting in line with this perfected ideal, and it was only a practical idea that he had somebody else get the water. So that's the machlokas in the Gemara. All right, so everybody have a good Shabbos. Any questions?